This is me telling you this. The program is Media Network.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks for PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another program from the Media Network Vintage Radio Archive.
Media Network, Radio Netherlands Weekly Communications Review with Jonathan Marks.
Hello, lots to come in the next half hour. We start this week with a quick flashback to June the 4th, 1989, at 0400 hours UTC to be precise. On that Sunday morning, European time, listeners to Radio Beijing, China's external service, heard the interval signal followed by a very courageous statement from the English service.
This is Radio Beijing. Please remember June the 3rd, 1989. The most tragic event happened in the Chinese capital, Beijing. Thousands of people, most of them innocent civilians, were killed by fully armed soldiers when they forced their way into the city. Among the killed are our colleagues at Radio Beijing. Radio Beijing English Department deeply mourns those died in a tragic incident and appeals to all its listeners to join our protest for the gross violation of human rights and the most barbarous oppression of the people.
The broadcast then continued with a rather innocuous news bulletin. Although the Radio Beijing announcer told us to remember June the 3rd, the date of June the 4th is generally accepted as the date of the massacre in Tiananmen Square. Since then, the Chinese authorities have clamped down both on information broadcast by their external service, Radio Beijing, and on information flowing into the country. The sign on there from the Voice of America in standard Chinese. The broadcasts from VOA and BBC have suffered from deliberate interference by the Chinese since 1989, alongside the huge output from Taiwan, which has been jammed for decades. But there are other groups trying to be heard. In July of 89, a group of Chinese students in Chicago, USA, organized the June the 4th Radio Program Production Unit. Four staff members started making programs designed to support the pro-democracy movement and inform people on the Chinese mainland about alternative views held by Chinese communities in other parts of the world. The group looked around for airtime and eventually managed to find that on one of the shortwave radio stations in Asia. As they were doing that, a group in Paris started the abortive radio ship project called the Goddess of Democracy. Maybe you remember that. It sailed from France for international waters off the Chinese mainland, but was poorly prepared and naive enough to think that purchasing a transmitter in Asia would be an easy task. Sun Yuan Li is the director of the June the 4th radio station in Chicago, and he explained to me that their project took a different approach.
Yeah, that failed, but they didn't expect to be successful. They just wanted to have a show, you know, to embarrass the regime of Beijing. But our station was aimed to work.
Right.
So we have been, the existence, we have been broadcasting to China for more than a year and a half now.
But not for much longer. The group says their funds are now depleted and will stop at the end of March. They currently reach China by hurrying shortwave airtime.
We do use shortwave. The transmitter part is very professional, very powerful.
Yes.
So at that time on the frequency, it's nothing else but our program. As for, you know, people who participated in the production of the program, we have an organization called the Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars. We have members scattered all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people contribute their articles, contribute their reports to our radio station through this network. And we have connections with other pro-democracy movements all around the world among the Chinese people.
And how many hours a day are you on the air? I mean, is it a question of...
We are in the air 1 hour a day from 5 to 6 o'clock Beijing time in the morning.
Right, so you hire 1 hour of airtime. I mean, can you tell me on which frequency? I mean, so
yes,
people can tune in?
Yeah, 15280 shortwave. It's directed, the signals are directed to Beijing, but it covers many other cities, but it doesn't cover Canton.
So that's 15280 kilohertz at 21 hours UTC on a daily basis. This is what the start of the transmission sounds like. But why will the June the 4th radio station stop at the end of March?
One of the reasons is that people are forgetting the June 4th massacre. You know, it's not hot anymore. So the financial support is dwindling.
So, I mean, what's going to happen then to the June the 4th? It simply goes off the air and you dissolve it, or is the idea that you're trying now to raise funds to save the operation?
I guess since the financing is gone, we have to dismiss it. But we hope that this work can be continued by somebody else.
Tetsuya Kondo of the Asian Broadcasting Institute in Japan confirms that the programs are not an empty publicity stunt like the Goddess of Democracy project.
This program, this is, exactly speaking, this is not a station because this program is made in Chicago, USA, and it's broadcast from Taiwan Central Broadcasting System.
So if you hear the station and wish to get in touch with them, you've got a few weeks left. The address is Radio June the 4th, apartment number 2, 1314 East Hyde Park Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60615 USA. That's Radio June the 4th, apartment number 2, 1314 East Hyde Park Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60615, USA. Lou Josephs from Boston, Massachusetts has just rung in with another comment. Lou, I believe that as well as the Taiwan operation, the programs are also aired on stations in the United States.
That's very true, Jonathan. You can hear them on some of the local college stations. For example, in the Boston area, WBRS, which is the station that Brandeis University owns and operates, carries the program on Sundays from noon until 2 o'clock.
And it's all in Chinese?
That's correct.
Tetsuya Kondo points out that another operation will continue there. Radio Democracy also hires airtime on a transmitter in Taiwan. And last August, it was joined by another Taiwanese operation called Voice of Democracy. So the propaganda battle continues. This following piece of music, popular in the past on Radio Beijing, is now being used by pro-democracy movements as a signature tune.
This song is a famous song for Chinese. Defend the Yellow River is used by Radio Democracy at closing music. This is a revolutionary song.
Back to the United States, and it seems that religious radio station WYFR has cut back its operations by some 25% because of a drop in listener contributions on which the evangelical station survives. Sheila Curl, who heads the technical operations at the station's headquarters in California, told Media Network that the drop is not as a result of the increased spectrum fee that private shortwave stations now have to pay to the FCC. A revised schedule is now being printed, and it's available from WYFR, Oakland, California, 94621 in the USA. Now to news behind this interval signal.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Wolf Harant from Radio Austria International. I'm happy to announce that our English services shortwave panorama will resume broadcasting from the first week in March. It was discontinued for some weeks due to our special reports on the Gulf crisis. Bye.
Thank you, Wolf. Nice to hear that news. And Austrian Shortwave Panorama airs on Sundays at 11:30 and 14:30 UTC, 6155 and 13730 kHz are the main channels here in Europe. A complete schedule is available from Radio Austria International, A1136, Vienna, Austria. Jim Hobbs, who's a reference librarian at Loyola University in New Orleans, Louisiana, USA, notes that during last week's coverage of the speeches by Saddam Hussein on CNN, plus a number of other TV networks around the world, there was a picture of an unfamiliar Sony shortwave radio, which was said to be in Amman, Jordan, monitoring the broadcasts of Radio Baghdad. So what was that radio? In fact, it was an old ICF 7600 Sony model from the early 80s. The only new thing about it was the Sony logo stuck to the front in a rather strange position, presumably for international advertising purposes. Bill Pasternak of the Amateur Radio Newsline reports a controversy that's blown up in the amateur radio world in North America. A few weeks ago, 9 computer bulletin boards connected to amateur packet radio stations on the US East Coast each received a warning letter from the Federal Communications Commission. The stations were accused of misusing the amateur radio service to facilitate the business activities of the Coalition to Stop US Intervention in the Middle East. The implications of the move are far-reaching, because it implies that each and every station in a store and forward amateur radio network is responsible for the actual message content passing through each node. The FCC's action states that each bulletin board system operator is personally responsible for the correctness of all messages merely passing through his system. Since most bulletin boards handle several thousand messages a month, there's no way a BBS operator can act as a policeman and censor. The National Coalition to Stop US Intervention in the Middle East, whose 900 telephone number was posted to the national packet traffic networks in the US, has since blasted the FCC for issuing the citations. They claim the move is blatant political interference. Joseph L. Reed, WA3QNS of Norristown, Pennsylvania, denies having been the station that originated the message, and in an interview with the New York Times, points an accusing finger at others. He contends there's no way for the FCC or anyone else to prove that his station was the source of that posting. Reportedly, Reed is now being denied access to packet radio bulletin boards operating in his area. Richard Langley at the University of New Brunswick in Fredericton, Canada, has been watching the popular shortwave outlet of Radio Jordan, namely 9560 kHz. On several occasions, he's noted English programmes being broadcast on that channel well beyond the normal scheduled transmission times. A few days ago, he spotted a broadcast starting at 1856 UTC, followed by a six-minute news summary on the hour, and then the song Live and Let Die, a rather strange selection to pick in these tragic times. Then at 1935, the transmission suddenly went into the Arabic language. The English service of Radio Jordan is normally relayed from around 1415 to 1730 UTC. Maybe the technicians at the transmitter site forget to switch the audio feed from the English to the Arabic service when the transmitter comes back on the air just before 1900 UTC. The frequency again, 9560. Now let's go back to the answer line.
Hello, Jonathan. It's Fred Parker here from Nutley in Sussex in England. You may be interested to know that on Friday the 1st of March, on BBC Two at 9:30 for 1 hour, there's a programme about Radio Caroline. Thanks. Bye.
Well, thanks for the call. It looks like the production company hired to make that documentary for the BBC has connections with the Caroline organisation. So if you have access to that particular channel, it might well be worth watching. Call to Sarat Virukun in Colombo, Sri Lanka has just come up. The line to our regular correspondent Victor Gunatilaka is out of order, but Sarat is equally well qualified to tell us what's going on. Sarat, let's switch to Thailand first. We know that on Saturday there was a military coup in that country. What did you observe at your monitoring post?
Now, following the military coup on Saturday morning, the state-run Radio Thailand, seized by the armed forces, went off there, and it remained silent throughout the Saturday afternoon. Even the Royal Palace Station, or SAW, on 6149 kilohertz in the 49-meter band, failed to come on the air on the day of the coup. The King Bhumibol Adulyadej was in the northern city of Chiang Mai when the Prime Minister Chatchai Chunhavan was arrested by the armed forces on Saturday morning. The only stations heard from Thailand on Saturday were the ones operated by the Thai armed forces. And around 13 hours UTC, we heard several medium wave stations run by them, including a couple of harmonics on 2.2 megahertz. A second harmonic of Voice of the Navy was picked up on 2214 kilohertz. That's the transmitter on 1107 kilohertz. The second harmonic of Royal Thai Army Station on 1287 kilohertz was heard on 2574 kilohertz. These two harmonics were heard in Thai from around 13 hours to sign off at 16:30.
And those harmonics are still there, of course. Incidentally, maybe we better point out, Sarah, that even under normal conditions, there are radio stations on the air run by and for the Thai military right across that country. Now, what happened as the weekend wore on?
Well, Radio Thailand resumed broadcast on Sunday, but the scheduled programs were suspended and the frequencies assigned for the external service, that's 4830 kilohertz, 9655 kilohertz and 11905 kilohertz were heard carrying the same Thai program on the home service broadcast on 6070 kilohertz. But by Monday, everything was back to normal. The external service started broadcasting as usual with English from 23 hours to 04:30 UTC and again from 11:30 to 12:30 UTC on 9655 kilohertz and 11905 kilohertz.
What's the modulation like? Because I know when Radio Thailand propagates into Europe that it's from a signal strength point of view quite strong, but the modulation is always down.
I think the modulation has improved quite a bit, and 9655 kilohertz is providing excellent signals in South Asia.
It's 8 a.m. Bangkok time, 1 hour Greenwich Mean Time.
Well, back to the Gulf, Sarat. We've had several calls to the answer line reporting Radio Damascus, Syria, on new 7500 kilohertz, fitting into Europe around 17 hours UTC in Arabic, in parallel to 12095 and 15095 kilohertz. Also on shortwave, Radio Baghdad in Arabic is currently heard on 3980, 4600, and the old channel of 8350 kHz seems to have moved to new 7350 kHz, according to a report just in from Richard Meesham of BBC Monitoring. 7350 and 8350, maybe that's another transmitter mistake. Now, you're much closer to things over there in Sri Lanka, Sarat, so what can you hear further down the dial?
On medium wave, Iraq is heard on 1224 kilohertz, 1431 kilohertz, and they're also using 1197 kilohertz, judging from the jammers on this frequency, Jonathan.
So, in other words, you can't actually hear the station, but you can hear the evidence of the jamming?
That's right, Jonathan.
Now, what's happening as far as Radio Kuwait is concerned? Because, I mean, the Kuwaitis have, in fact, been broadcasting back into Kuwait from a site believed to be in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, with the troops of Saddam Hussein finally pulling out from Kuwait, there's a lot of jubilation going on in Radio Kuwait's broadcast on 666 kilohertz. That's heard here in Sri Lanka, fading around 1530, past 23 hours UTC.
What other stations can you hear?
Well, we can hear the station at Daegu Gasha, the low-powered station on 1485 kilohertz, carrying a lot of news about what's happening in the Middle East on 1485 kilohertz.
What times can you hear it?
We can hear around 17 hours to midnight 30 hours UTC.
Good gracious, I wish I could hear that American forces station on Diego Garcia on medium wave here in Europe. Mind you, several reports to the answer line indicate that the new VOA relay station in Bahrain on 1350 kilohertz is being heard in Finland at the moment around 23 hours UTC on evenings when propagation is favourable.
The Equipment Test Bench.
Receiver news now, and in the US, the mail order house, DAC Industries of Canoga Park, California, has started a new publicity campaign for its $50 PLL synthesized shortwave receiver. The MR-101, which is assembled in the People's Republic of China, has been upgraded, says the advert, to include FM stereo on the optional headphones, plus a timer for unattended recording of favourite programmes. The advert says nothing about whether the receiver section has been improved, though. If you recall, the main complaint that we had about that set was its very poor image rejection, resulting in signals appearing at parts of the dial where they shouldn't be. DAC said at the time they were planning to fix that problem. Meanwhile, in Taiwan, the Sangyan company, which also makes radios, marketed under a variety of brands such as Tandy Radio Shack, Siemens or Supertech, has announced a new model as from June. The company is best known for its ATS-803A model, which was introduced several years ago and has been given several upgrades. In January last year, the radio was joined by a smaller, more compact model called the ATS-808. That offered more tuning facilities, but no single sideband. Sangyan claimed that the ATS-808 is selling at a rate of around 4,000 units a month here in Europe, thanks to the Gulf crisis. Albert Chen, sales manager of Sangyan, told Joanna Fu in a broadcast on the Voice of Free China that the range is now to be expanded with the ATS-818.
ATS-818, or we call A18, is a model that we divide into two versions. One is with cassette, one is without cassette. Basically, it's used the same microchip of ATS-808, but we equip with the SSB reception, and also provide a timer recording for ATS-A18-CS. The size is a little bit larger to provide good speaker performance. ATS-A18, I think, will be available from this June. That means it's not available right now.
Albert Chen of Sangyan. So the ATS-818 will offer single sideband, better audio, thanks to a larger speaker, plus a cassette in some markets. As soon as they come into the shops, we'll buy one for our independent laboratory tests.
Radio Netherlands.
We're not number one. You are?
Try again.
Radio Netherlands.
We're not number one. You are.
That's better.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the European Broadcasting Union, the EBU, presented a plan which by next year should provide a European alternative to CNN, cable news network, based in Atlanta, Georgia, in the USA. As we reported here on Media Network, the Euronews project is designed to provide news 24 hours a day in five languages: English, French, German, Italian and Spanish. The viewers throughout the European broadcasting area. That means from Finland right down to Morocco and from Ireland to Turkey. Euronews will be the first televised news programme made by Europeans for Europeans. Perhaps not such a revolutionary concept with 1992 right round the corner. But as the vice president of the EBU, Massimo Ficchiera, told reporters yesterday at a news conference in Brussels, it's an idea whose time has definitely come.
C'est un projet qui vient de loin.
It's a project that has come a long way and that we hope will go a long way. It's come far because it's the same concept that led the EBU to organize the Eurovision News Exchange. Eurovision was the result of cooperation among all European nations and was an act of solidarity between the big and the small broadcasters. Those two notions, cooperation and solidarity, are what enabled us to pool together our news resources.
Nice ideals, but how do you turn them into interesting, quick and up-to-date news? The fact that Euronews will broadcast in five separate languages simultaneously will no doubt prove to be one of the channel's main obstacles. But the EBU has devised a rather unique solution to that problem, so they say. There'll be no on-screen presenters. Commentary in the five languages will be off-screen, so that all viewers will see are pictures, graphics and subtitles. Superchannel has tried the same scheme in three languages and so far has failed to score. But the EBU feels that this style of presentation is crucial to avoid skyrocketing costs. As for the programming, it'll be quite similar to CNN, as Henri Perez, the director of the EBU's television programming department, explained.
Vous voyez que il y a une grille qui se décline.
The programming will vary throughout the day. From 6:30 to 9 in the morning, Euronews will broadcast 20-minute news roundups with updates, a European diary, the headlines of the European press, as well as weather reports. From 9 in the morning till 10 in the evening, there'll be headlines in brief, stock market information, and weather on the half hour. This will be followed by news and current affairs magazines, lasting 20 minutes, produced by the participating countries. This will enable us to broadcast material from other member nations, which is normally never broadcast outside the country where it's produced. Of course, this is in theory. In practice, when there's a major news event or a crisis like the one we've been going through over the past 5 months, then we would broadcast the news live.
And to make sure that Euronews has enough material to keep it going round the clock, the EBU will set up facilities to receive 16 incoming signals simultaneously. Euronews itself will be broadcast on the new generation of Eutelsat satellites, so viewers will be able to receive the signal either via their cable system or with their own dish antenna. If Euronews proves to be a success, the EBU is considering getting the Euronews signal up on other satellites too, but CNN has a 10-year lead on them as far as the global picture is concerned. So how much money will Euronews need and where will the funding come from? Henri Perez.
Les besoins financiers ont été étudiés.
We've carefully studied the financial aspects of Euronews. During the first year, when we plan to broadcast 9 hours a day, we'll need over 21 million écus for the initial investments and operating costs. By 1993, when we plan to be on the air 24 hours a day, our budget will be nearly 25 million écus. In the long run, though, advertising and sponsoring should provide all the necessary funding. And according to our feasibility study, we should be able to meet that target within 5 years.
So during that initial five-year period, Euronews will need financial assistance from the European community and the four main countries involved in the project, namely France, Germany, Italy and Spain. The BBC has opted out of Euronews since it's working on its own worldwide TV news project, World Service Television, and the Dutch TV station NOS announced last week that it would also not be taking part.
Radio Netherlands. Continental Talk Radio.
We understand that the new Astra 1B satellite will be launched tomorrow night, March the 1st. The launch window opens at 23:36 UTC. Several TV stations, amongst them RTL4, say they'll broadcast the launch live from Kourou, French Guiana. We note with sadness the death on February the 17th of the US broadcaster Gary Gears, a long-time correspondent to this programme. Gary was the voice behind many radio stations, including WLS in Chicago, Radio Luxembourg, and more recently on Radio Moscow's World Service. That station paid a moving tribute to Gary this past weekend, and even if you didn't know who Gary was, the programme was a rare example of one-to-one broadcasting. It was a moving portrait of a radio professional who quite clearly ate, slept and breathed radio, and he will be missed. From all of us, we wish you a pleasant weekend.
I've been doing some listening between 3 and 30 megawatts. It's, some people get static, some people get far-off countries. I just get a headache.
Serving the universe from Flevo, Radio Netherlands, with relays in Russia, Bonaire, and Madagascar. Any questions?
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.